And you are listening to With High Delight, Let Us Unite. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, April the 5th in the year of our Lord 2016. And as the promo said, my good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith is with us in the studio. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. A blessed Easter tide to you.
Yes, Easter continues even though the resurrection is over.
Yes, but you know, he is risen. It's not he was risen, he is risen.
Yes, he is risen. Hallelujah. So, this coming Sunday is the second Sunday of Easter, or after Easter.
No, of Easter.
Is it?
No. Third Sunday of Easter. Third Sunday of Easter.
Yes, yeah. Third Sunday of Easter. And therefore, it's really the second Sunday after Easter.
I suppose so.
Yes, okay.
You're always right, Tom.
No.
Everybody knows you're always right.
Would you phone my wife and tell her that? And then also phone your wife. Because there's two that don't believe that right now.
No.
What do you mean, you know? It's really hard to tell what you're going to preach on this Sunday. Acts 9, of course, is Saul's conversion.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Revelation 5 is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible.
I know.
And John 21 is Jesus with the disciples
giving him breakfast on the Sea of Galilee.
Which one are you going to preach on?
I don't know. I was trying to decide yesterday. I was going over all of them, and they're all good.
Yes.
I think the most challenging might be the Revelation.
Yes. I did that on Monday, yesterday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can listen to that. Once you have the code to Revelation, it's pretty easy to understand, especially if you have a commentary by Dr. Brighton sitting beside you.
Oh, yes. Yes. Excellent. Was his class on Revelation, I'll never forget.
No.
Everybody wanted to take it.
Yeah, and I did.
And you know what? He was, it's funny how things turned out. He ended up at a parish where I can remember as a boy, down in Savannah, Georgia. Trinity Lutheran Church in Savannah, Georgia is where he ended up. That's where he was buried from.
Oh, really?
And that was my boyhood church home.
Wow.
Back in the early 60s.
Yes. So you never met him when he was there, though?
No, oh no. Yeah. No, I had him at the seminary.
Right, right.
Professor.
What did he do before he went to the sim?
Well, I think he was a parish pastor for some years.
Wow. Well, that's a tremendous commentary for sure. In fact, any of the Concordia commentaries are very good, and we would encourage people to get them. With High Delight, Let Us Unite. And even though it was written by George Vetter, who died in 1599, it was translated also by an individual that I had. Who was my professor?
Yes, Martin Frodsman.
Did you ever have him?
No, I never did. No, he had left the seminary before I got there. Right, I think he'd gone to England.
It's hard to believe he died in 1976.
Yes. Yes, boy. I remember when he died.
Yeah, that was already in St. Louis at St. James. And I do remember that too.
I think he was in Cambridge when he passed away.
With high delight, let us unite. If you'd read the first stanza.
With high delight, let us unite in songs of great jubilation. Ye pure in heart, all bear your part. Sing Jesus Christ, our salvation. To set us free forever, he is risen and sends to all earth's ends good news to save every nation.
So this is during the Easter season. After Easter, we have a number of Sundays prior to getting to Ascension and Pentecost, and then the rest of the year is the Pentecost season. With high delight, let us unite. Now, that delight comes about, I think, although the Bible verse isn't here, would definitely be when the disciples saw Jesus in the upper room. Remember, they had high delight.
Well, absolutely. Does it expressly say that? I don't remember. It doesn't use that very word, does it?
No, not delight.
But they were glad when they saw the Lord. That's when they saw the Lord,
right,
and after he had told them, peace be with you, and they were absolutely sure that it was indeed the Lord. It wasn't just a figment of their imagination. And it says specifically they were glad,
yes,
when they saw the Lord.
I preached on that a little bit using the text, blessed are those who have not seen
and
yet have believed. And my question was, are you more blessed than they were because you have not seen and have believed? How would you answer that?
That's a good question.
I know. All my questions are good.
Too bad your answers aren't all as good.
You just said I don't make any mistakes.
Well, what do you think? Do you think we're equally blessed as the? I don't know. I mean, the apostles walked and talked with him, and I don't know. That's a real privilege to have spent those 3 years with him. Of course, they all were martyred except for John.
Yes. Well, the question is, were they also blessed? And I did some study on this. The way faith came to people during the apostolic era, for many of them, is they first saw Jesus, then they believed.
Uh-huh.
Whereas we are the opposite. We first believe.
On the basis of his word.
Yes, then we see things.
Uh-huh.
And so what I came to conclude was that at the beginning of the apostolic era, salvation came about kind of by sight, and yet sight wasn't enough. Because I can think of two places where people were with Jesus after the resurrection and did not recognize
him. That's right. The road to Emmaus, disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Mary Magdalene.
Excellent, excellent. And so
that says something about his post-resurrection body. He could conceal his image as well as what do you think? Don't you
make a different point that even seeing him after the resurrection until it was revealed to you that he was the Christ, you still didn't recognize him. That the revelation still had to come about by the Holy Spirit. In other words, sight wasn't sufficient.
Wasn't enough.
No. In fact, when Thomas said,
my Lord and my God.
No, before that. When Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see him and unless I touch him.
Yes.
That was even more than the disciples had seen.
Yes.
So when Jesus appeared 8 days later, Thomas didn't touch him.
Do you think he... For him, seeing was enough, or did he actually touch him? Well, you know, artists depict that differently. Some artists depict him actually touching his wounds.
It may be, but it's not in the Bible.
Uh-huh, right. He did not. We're not told that he had to touch him.
And Jesus didn't say, because you have touched me, you believe.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, only because you have seen me. And this
So you don't think he touched him?
No, because the revelation would have come to him by the Holy Spirit. And you already said the confession, Thomas said.
My Lord and my God.
Nobody had ever said that before.
Right, right.
That was the first apostle ever to say that, because they called him Lord a lot of times, but God, he was giving him the attributes of Yahweh in the Old Testament.
Peter called him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But you're right, nobody until Thomas confessed my Lord and my God.
That's the highest Christological confession that one can make, that he's not only Lord, but he's also God, which was the name that Jesus gave to Moses on Mount Sinai during the burning bush. You know, I am Yahweh. I am who I am. So I kind of find that interesting that God says that many people prior to the death of Jesus. You see, when John wrote his gospel, that was 50 years after Jesus had risen from the dead. So many of the people who were reading that hadn't even been born. And that's why he reports, and that's for me, the evidence that we need, the witness of those who did see him. That's all the evidence we need, namely the word of God. And so it just so happens when I preached that at Rosebud Sunday, there was a baptism right after the service of a little girl, Penny. Uh-huh. So I brought her into the sermon three times, talking about that she is now going to first believe, and then she's going to see. And the way I did that was this. There is an occasion during the worship service where people come forward and take a piece of bread and a sip of wine, but they do not see it as a piece of bread or a sip of wine. What do they see it as?
It's the body and blood of our Lord.
Yes, in with and under that, bread and wine. And see, that was the point of the sermon, is once you come to faith, then you see.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of that book written on the basis of John 9 by a blind man. Blind, now I see.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Yes.
So faith does allow you to see, but there was a short period of time during the time of Jesus when he had risen from the dead that seeing him led to faith. We don't need that. That's not necessary. We don't have to give any evidence to anybody about what the Bible says. We just say the Bible. Remember Romans 10? You're saved by what? Hearing the word of God, period. And why we believe the word of God, I don't know, except by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because apart from that, it doesn't make any sense at all. But the point that was made in the sermon also that I did was that when they saw Jesus, they had high delight.
They were glad when they saw the Lord.
And that's the same thing we do when we go to the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
We have high delight because our sins are being forgiven, and we may not be seeing Jesus face to face or able to touch him, but we're receiving his true body and blood
into us. That's right. That's why we sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Now let us sell thy servant, depart in peace.
Simeon,
yeah, after holding the baby. So anything in this first stanza that you want to touch on?
It's just a beautiful hymn.
Yes.
It's got a kind of a different rhythm to it, but it's a delightful hymn, beautiful Easter hymn. I can't wait to sing it this Sunday.
Yeah, in songs of great jubilation, ye pure in heart, it says. Who's pure in heart?
We are in Christ.
In Christ.
In Christ, we're
That's
pure
right.
in heart.
Exactly.
That's the only way.
Yeah, that was another question I had in the sermon before. I said about Easter. You know, we celebrated his death, his resurrection. We're coming to his ascension. We also go through those. His death and baptism, his resurrection also in baptism, one can say, but coming to faith. And then the ascension, I said, was, when we're going to ascend into heaven in our body. And I said, does anyone disagree with that? And nobody did. And I said, well, I do.
Oh, Tom.
Do you know which one I got wrong? Or what was wrong?
No.
When do you ascend into heaven?
When we ascended it, well, we're... It does say we're taken up to meet our Lord in the air on the last day. It does talk about that, but don't we ascend when we come to faith, or when Christ ascends?
Exactly. In fact, that, you just said it. That's what reminded me. In Christ.
Uh huh.
In Christ, according to Ephesians 2, you are already at the right hand
That's
of God.
That's right. That's right. So, we walk by faith, not by sight, and someday it'll be by sight.
We have three kinds of ascensions. When we come to faith, we're at the right hand of God. When we die, our spirit ascends to heaven.
Right.
And on judgment day, our body ascends.
That's right.
That's the full glory. But right now, and so this is why it's ridiculous when we pray that we're already at the right hand of God. Why would we pray to somebody who's buried in the ground, a saint or something like that? Doesn't make any sense at all. Not when Jesus is right beside us at the right hand of God, the Father. So that was just... kind of a fun sermon. Nobody got that one right either. Okay. I'll read stanza two. True God, he first from death has burst forth into life all subduing. His enemy doth vanquish lie. His death has been death's undoing. And yours shall be like victory over death and grave, saith he who gave his life for us, life renewing.
I like that light. That line where it says, his death has been death's undoing.
Yes.
The death of death.
If there's anything that Christianity is, it's paradoxical. You know, death died.
Right.
Because of death. And people wonder, what are you talking about? But that's why you need to explain it. The death that died is our eternal death in hell. In other words, what Jesus overcame was the curse of the law. That's why law and gospel is so important, which was in the day that you sin, death is the result. And there was an instant death Adam and Eve had because they were separated from God, but they never ended up having the eternal death because they believed in the Messiah. Remember in chapter 4, when Eve has Cain, she thinks it's...
She thinks that's, I have a man, the Lord.
Yeah, right.
She thought it was the promised Savior already.
Yeah, so that shows that they had faith, which really was ridiculous. It's still... The faith Abraham had was just so great. He's ready to kill his son because, according to Hebrews, he knows he's going to be risen from the dead when nobody up to that time had been risen from the dead.
Right. That's right. And nobody yet.
And the only evidence he had...
was God's promise.
Well, a little more than that, according to Hebrews, was that Isaac had come from a dead womb.
Yes, that's right.
It's actually mentioned.
Yes.
That's why he believed he could knife him and burn him. It was a
right, a burnt offering. Yes. To be a burnt offering, oh. Isaac was. Can you imagine that?
No. No, I just...
Boy, and those 3 days on the way to Moriah?
Yeah, going up
imagine
the hill.
Imagine that. Think
although
about that.
He does say to the servants...
Says, you stay here, we will go up there and worship, and then we will come back to you.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, that's good. All right. Stanza 3, if you would.
Let praises ring, give thanks, and bring to Christ our Lord adoration. His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall his love give us above from misery and death set free all joy and full consolation. A beautiful hymn, isn't it?
Yes. You see, what makes a good hymn is it's almost a mini sermon. And it not only has law in it, but it also has gospel. The gospel is the comfort. And there, it's the last line you read, from misery and death set free, all joy and full consolation.
This is the missionary verse. You know, it talks about
yes.
His honor speed by word and deed to every land, every nation. So shall his love give us above from misery and death set free. You know, the idea that we're to every nation, to all peoples, let the message set them free.
In fact, is that not what he says in Matthew 28 about baptizing?
Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you.
And disciples of all
nations.
Nations. Yeah, that's really an important point. So what we're talking about here is a wonderful hymn, and Martin Franzmann did have a great way of translating.
Oh, yes.
Yes. The poetry is really good, the rhyme. And it is a hymn that... unlike Isaiah Mighty Seer of old, you can actually whistle.
Yes.
Yeah, I always say a good hymn is one that you can remember the tune.
Oh, oh boy,
and kind of go through it at all.
In fact, a really good hymn is one you're humming all Sunday afternoon. It's in your head. You almost can't get the melody out of your head.
Yes.
Even throughout the afternoon, you're thinking, oh, boy, that's a good hymn.
Yes. Yeah, I have a friend, his favorite hymn is Onward Christian Soldiers.
Oh, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I like that as a kid.
Which one do you like now?
Oh, I don't know, there's so many good. Well, this one is great. I love He's Risen Christ Jesus the Lord. I love Walther's Easter hymn, I like that. And
yeah, C.F.W. Walther, who was the first president of the Lutheran Church. My favorite hymn is My Song is Love Unknown.
Oh, and there's an Advent hymn. I can't think of what it is, but it. Well, yeah, you're right. My Song is Love Unknown. That is a beauty, boy.
Because, you know, we went through that, and there was so much irony in it.
Yes.
You know, it says one thing, and
there's an Advent hymn that just, when I hear it over KFU, it almost brings tears in my eyes. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah,
I can't give you the name of it, but when I hear it, I love it.
Well, it's got to be in the beginning of this hymnal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking through which one. The Comfort Ye My People?
No.
On Jordan's Bank? No. Lift up your heads.
It talks about him descending.
Oh.
Descending. That word's in the title. What is that hymn? Hello, he comes with clouds descending. That is a beautiful hymn. I love that hymn.
That's right.
Yes.
Do you know who wrote it?
Charles Wesley.
Yeah. Don't you like any Lutheran hymns?
My dad was a Methodist, so maybe that's got something to do with it.
Well, the Wesley, boy, they put out some good hymns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the words are so good. This is why I think
the Wesley brothers.
Yeah. Why I think the Beatles were so good. Because the words, people really.
The lyrics.
Yes.
Yes.
They were saying things that people felt but didn't know how to say. And then they had good harmony, too. But, yeah, I knew they were going to be successful.
Yeah, all except that one John Lennon hymn. Imagine. Oh, what a
I love that
song. Are you kidding?
No.
Imagine there is no.
It's about the most Christian hymn you can find.
Oh, come on, Tom. Imagine?
Yes.
You got to be kidding.
No. Why do I say that?
Yeah, I want to know that.
Okay, because everything he imagines, Christianity fulfills. There is no religion. Christianity is not a religion. Remember, the word religion means a way of working.
Oh, Tom.
There's peace. There's no distinction between nations. You go through that, and you can find Bible verses. Now, he wasn't thinking that.
No,
I agree.
That's my point.
No, but see, that's the point of all religions. Every religion has a goal and a hope. They just go about it the wrong way. But Christianity fulfills that imagine perfectly.
You're going to get some calls on this one.
No, I'm not. Why do you say that?
Oh.
No, that's...
I think you're getting a little soft in the head, your old age.
What,
I got you now. No, you're flustered.
What I don't like you saying is in my old age.
Imagine. Oh, boy.
Now I've heard everything.
We need coffee.
Got it right here.
Cups. 12-ounce, 8-ounce recyclable creamers, sweeteners, stirrers, filters.
Creamers, sweeteners, stirrers, filters, K-cups.
Isn't that French?
That's dead space. We better get back on the air.
Okay. Yeah. No, take a look at the word imagine and that hymn. And when you hear it, you'll see that Christianity fulfills what he wishes. We're the only ones that do it. None of his religions do. And I think that's kind of important.
No hell below.
Yeah, Tom, I don't think so. I'm not buying that one.
You're not going to?
No.
Only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country.
You see, there is no country in heaven. It's just, Mark didn't have his earphones on, so he wasn't hearing any of these good words. You need to understand that I came to understand that all unbelievers, what they're really looking for, Christianity provides, they just don't know it. And they're looking for it in a different way, you know, through other religions. And because of their view, boy, oh boy, it really messes them up that they have to work to get it done. I don't know. Insight tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about this rule they're trying to make in the state of Missouri to protect Christians who don't want to serve gay people in certain areas. We're going to talk about that. I might just bring on Imagine. When's your worship services?
Our worship services, are, of course, are Saturday at 5 p.m., Saturday 5 p.m., and Sunday at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church of Crestwood.
All right, and tomorrow, I'm Tom Baker, and tomorrow we're going to be looking at Insight Wednesday, where we are going to be talking about what's the state of Missouri going to do to protect Christians so they can have religious freedom. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.